what's going on over here before Jesus come, amen, you ain't going to have enough room, amen, in you. Pastor going to have to read. He's going to have to enlarge. He's going to have to open up this thing. Because why? Because the time is drawing so nigh, and people don't know what to do now because of the economy and all this stuff. Amen. The Obamacare and all of this. And people just worry themselves to death. Amen. Jesus opened the book of Psalms to let open the book of Psalms. The Lord is what? My shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen. We got to understand that some way or another, God going to bring us through this thing. Can you say amen? That's why we got to learn how to go through the fire. Amen. We got to learn how to go through the fire. That's what our problem is. We don't want to accept challenges. We don't want to fight. But you better put yourself. You got to fight. We all go fight. Read. I'm gonna hurry up and get through.
For today I must abide at your house.
Notice now. For today I must abide at your house. Tell your neighbor, amen, God want to buy at your house. God want to buy in my house. God want to buy at your house. God want to buy in my house. Now, you think about it. You can be the same one, but still might be somebody that's not saved, and God still can do whatever you desire, what you want to do. Read. Notice what it said. The Bible said, and he made haste, and he came down.
And he received him joyfully.
And he received him joyfully.
All right.
And when they saw it, see that you always have
somebody
sitting back there, amen, mumbling and thinking evil about the person. It ought to be shot with it. Make haste, came down. Think about it. Make haste, come down. Think about it. Make haste, come down. You hear today? Make haste, come down. Don't take down the make haste. Oh, I don't think I'm ready there. You better get ready. What, Tyler? You better get ready.
Yeah.
Make haste, come down.
Yeah.
Because what? Jesus is coming. Read.
And receive
them joyfully. And when they saw it,
they all murmured,
saying, going to be a guest. Say, well, Jesus, I come to seek and to save that was lost.
Right.
I ain't come to seek the one that is already saved.
Right.
That was some religious
yeah.
folks.
Yeah.
God, the guest could be my enemy. He gonna be a guest at this center. Read.
Uh-huh.
Behold, Lord. Look, Lord, on behalf of my good I give to you. Think about it. Ooh, look, the half of my good. Ooh, man, you hear what's going on here? The half of my good. Amen. God, whatever it takes, amen, for me to get saved, for me to go back with him, with me. Lord, you can have half of my good.
Yeah.
Think about it. Come on.
Give
to the poor. Misuse anybody, if I mistreated anybody, if I was, amen, if I just done anyone wrong, Lord, oh God, what I got to do to go back and repay them? Amen. Come on now. I restore him fourfold.
Yeah.
Money ain't no thing now, see?
Amen.
Watch that. Jesus said unto him, this day. And also much, he's a son. Now, you better understand, the son of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. Now, this is where we better understand. See, we got preaching now behind the pulpit trying to use Abraham, amen, as a seed giver, amen, in order to manipulate us and to make us believe, amen, this is how we can get rich. Prayer cloth. Send for my miracle water. The subject Jesus is passing by. Send me for your miracle water. Get us caught up in our little manipulated mind and make us use that reverse psychology on us and make us think that, amen, God is sitting on the throne. Got people outside looking for sacks of money to fall out of ground. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because if it would have been, as long as I've been serving God, and God, I ain't got rich yet. But I'm rich in Jesus. Ain't nowhere in the Bible that he said that he's going to make us rich, but he said that he will what? Supply each and all of our needs. Ain't no way he said, I'm going to throw you $1 million. Nothing. Come on now, huh? That was a man that we all know. When I was living in Houston, his name, amen, the foreman, amen, the heavyweight champion of the world, amen, George Foreman. And notice what he said. He was interviewed, amen, over television concerning his life. He spoke of having made millions of dollars, but of a life that was waste and spent. Think about that. Because nobody hit hard as that man. Ain't none of us had much money as he had. But sometimes God have to take certain people down the road to get them to what? See themselves, and then come back and use it for a testimony. And then have to use it for a testimony to give us an understanding that, hey, you're going the wrong way. It's not that he don't want us to have. Don't misunderstand me. Because John said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your what? Soul prosper. Amen. This man here was rich, had plenty of money. Yes. Amen. It ain't nothing that we, amen, God would bless us abundantly, but the Bible says the love of money, yes, is the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with you riding in your nice car. God want us. He want us to look nice. He want us to be nice. Amen. He make us the head and what? And not the tail. Can you say amen? Amen. And George Foreman said amen. It was a waste. But after he realized which way he was going, he said, and then he met Jesus. And then he met Jesus. And when he met him, amen, and realized that, amen, he got caught up in the glamours and got caught up, amen, of the world. See, he was supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Huh? I already said, Jesus said, this world, amen, this kingdom is not of this world. And we don't understand that how the enemy works, how the devil works. Amen. See, Satan owned the world system. When he got kicked out of heaven, he owned the world system. He controls it. That's why the Bible called him the Prince of the Air. He rules that.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you.
Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
By week, year by year, it's hard to figure it all out. But the good news is, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel, for we will understand it better by and by. Come on, let's thank God for our choir. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and God, we ask that you would speak a word into our hearts. God, a word that will help us to live better, God, to walk better. God, we thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross And God, we now give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Genesis as we prepare to embark upon our annual youth week. And just want to speak really to parents today. On next Sunday, we have a guest speaker, and she will speak primarily to our youth. So I wanted to kick this week off with the word to the parents, to those of you who are parents today. Genesis chapter 22. I want you in your own time to read the entirety of that 22nd chapter. But just for your hearing this morning, we're going to look at verses 7 through 13. Amen. But when you get home, read that entire 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Verse 7 says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And then verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." I've come by this morning to encourage those of you who are parents, and I told one of our secretaries in the office this morning that I don't envy anybody who has that awesome task of raising children in this time that we live in. For truly, somebody said that these are the times that try men's souls. I do know that if you're going to parent and parent successfully, you need to have the Word of God. Amen. And you need to do what Abraham did in our passage this morning, and that is you need to give your children back to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, give your children, if you have any, back to God. Amen, amen. Give them back to God. Thank you, ushers. Now, somebody's looking at me, and you're saying, I didn't know we could give them back. Now, I'm not, amen, there's a no return policy on children, amen, amen. So I'm not telling you that you need to literally give them back, but in a real spiritual sense, if you are going to raise children in an hour such as this, you need to recognize that you have to give them back to God, amen. Amen. You need to recognize that your children are a precious gift from God, and they belong ultimately and always to him first, not to you. Somebody needs to get that what's the commercial with the, have you eaten your vegetables today and not yet, and the lady pops the guy on the head, amen. Somebody needs to get that wake-up call that the children that you have, amen, really are a gift to you from God. But ultimately, they belong to him. And so if you're going to raise them in the right way, you've got to release ownership of your children to him, understanding that God is responsible for the way in which they are designed. And guess what? He already knows the plan and purpose for their lives. Somebody ought to praise him for that today. while you're trying to figure it out. I know somebody's looking at me and you, amen, before you, that first child was born, you said, I've got all these theories on how to raise a child, amen. And now you're saying, I got the child and now I don't have any theories, amen. But the good news of the hour is that God already knows the purpose and plan for your children's lives. So you need to give them back to him. There are some great biblical examples of this in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27. You Bible readers will remember how Hannah prayed to God for a child. The Bible lets us know that God blessed her with the child, and because she recognized where the blessing came from, she named the child Samuel. And that name literally means I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. And so she gives the child back to God. Amen. Through the priest Eli. There's another example in Luke chapter 1 verses 57 through 66. You Bible readers will remember how Zechariah and Elizabeth circumcised the infant John the Baptist, gave him the name that the angel had instructed them to give him. And in a real sense, this was an act of surrendering that child to the purpose and plan for which God had chosen him. And of course, you remember Joseph and Mary. They brought that infant child, Jesus, to the temple following his circumcision at 8 days. Amen. They brought him to the temple, the Bible says in Luke 2 and 22, to present him to the Lord. But the example that we want to share with you this morning, amen, of a parent surrendering his child to God is Abraham offering Isaac up at Mount Moriah here in Genesis chapter 22. So let's see what God wants to say to us about giving your children back to him. I hope and I pray, because we're living in trying times. And it disturbs me, amen. I'm not a parent, but I'm bothered when I hear that our young people are in trouble and that our young people are facing problems in school and at home and in other places, amen. And so every parent, every grandparent, every hope-to-be parent, you ought to really want to know how God blessed Abraham and Isaac when Abraham gives his son back to God. And I hope, my brothers and sisters, that you have a real encounter with God where you can come in a very real way and give your children and your grandchildren back to God. Because that's exactly what Abraham did. He literally, totally, irrevocably gave Isaac back to God. Now, if you know anything about the story of Abraham and Sarah, you know that that had to be a difficult task for him. Because you Bible readers will remember that Sarah was 90 years old. Abraham was 100 years old before they were finally able to have a child on their own. They tried, amen, to circumvent, amen, the plan of God by doing it on their own. And a lot of times, parents, you get in trouble and you mess up when you listen to everybody but God. You listen to Oprah. And you listen to Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz and Dr. Seuss and all these other people. If you're going to get it right, you need to go to the creator of the family. You need to go to the one, amen, who gave you power. See, a lot of you take for granted, amen, that you're even able to have a child. There are some women, even in the Bible, we know many women were barren and unable to bear children, and some of them prayed for a miracle, amen, and God opened up a window and made a way for them to have a child. And some of you don't even appreciate the fact that if it had not been for the power of God that touched your womb and gave you the ability to give birth. That's why I get mad at some of these mothers I see in the mall and different places talking to their children any kind of way. It's telling their children, get out of my face. You make me sick. I hear all kind of stuff, and it just ought not to be. And I really believe that when you understand that your children are a gift from God, you'll treat them differently.
I say the same thing in our ministers division in the state. You know how some folk treat their pastors. Amen. They treat and not remembering what the Bible says, that God gives pastors after his own heart. Your pastor is a gift to you from God. And whatever I do, I don't want to mishandle a gift from God. Do I have a witness today? You may have a gift of singing or a gift of doing something else. If you don't understand that talent, that ability is a gift from God, guess what you'll do? You'll misuse it. And you will abuse it. And some folk do that not only with their pastors and not only with their talents and gifts, but also with their children. But my brothers and sisters, if you're going to be a successful parent today, you need to give your children back to God. Because the first thing that it does, when you give your child back to God, it confirms that you know and understand that your child is a gift to you from God. It confirms that you love God as well as your child. The first thing you're saying when you give that child back to the Lord is simply this, that you love God even more than you love that child, and that you can't properly love your children without loving God. Do you know God is a jealous God? Anything or anybody you put above him or in front of him, he gets jealous, and a lot of times trouble comes because God has to wake us up to the reality that he's supposed to be our first love. Oh my, I know somebody may not like it, but as much as you love your children, you better always remember that God comes first. That's what Abraham said when God told him, amen, to take his child, his only child, this child that he'd been waiting on, because God promised him that he would make of him and his family, amen, a blessing to the nations. God made these promises to Abraham, and yet he waited 100 years before that promise came into manifestation. And then after all of that, God would turn around and say, now take the same child you've been waiting on, you prayed for, that you trusted me for. Take the same child and place him on an altar and take that child's life. Abraham was confirming that he loved God more than he loved the child. I have to wonder sometimes if some parents really love God more than they love the child. Because if you love God more than you love the child, there's some things you wouldn't tolerate from the child. Oh my, oh, y'all gonna get quiet on me now. I said, if you love God more than you love the child, there are some things you wouldn't tolerate from the child. Now, y'all know how those of us who are over 40, amen, how we grew up, and the Canton Spirituals had a song. In the song, they say that mom drugged them to church. And there are a whole lot of us in here, amen, that can testify that we didn't get to church, amen, on our own. A lot of times we had to be drugged to church. But is there anybody here who's glad to know that, amen, being drugged to church paid off? Being drugged to church, amen, made a difference in who I am. And I thank God that a lot of folk that I grew up with who weren't in the church, amen, many of them are dead, many of them are in prison, but because mom drug us to church. Oh, I'm so happy, amen. It confirms your love for God as well as your love for your child, because if you love your child, you'll put God first. Can I get a witness today? So that's the first element of surrendering your child to God, confirmation of your love for God. Amen, amen, amen. The second element is giving your children to God is a clarification of ownership. Not only is it a confirmation of your love for God, it's a clarification of ownership. When you give your child back to God, you're openly declaring that this child is a gift from God. You're openly declaring that this child does not really belong to you. You're openly declaring that this child belongs to God. You're openly declaring that you have the privilege to love and train this child, but this child is not yours, but God's. Was this not what had to be on Abraham's mind when he lay Isaac on that altar? Was he not saying, Lord, this young man belongs to you, not me. You do with him as you please. He's yours. Amen. And you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that that little boy or girl in your home does not really belong to you. They belong to God. They are a precious gift from God. I know them in Bible country because Psalms 127 and 3 says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Tell your neighbor, you better be careful how you treat God's property. Oh my, oh my, oh my. One of the glaring symptoms of the depth of depravity in our society is how people are treating children. You know, you only need to get online and look at some of the news reports. Amen. There was a picture on Facebook just this past week of a little girl lying in her casket. Amen. Amen. Because her stepfather had abused that child, had raped that child. That child had been through living hell. Amen. And many of the posts under the picture of that dead child were saying, rest in peace, were saying, your pain is over now. Your trouble is over now. But we can look at how people treat children to know just how much we need Jesus. Is there anybody here today who realizes that this world is in a bad condition? This world is messed up. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. So it's a confirmation. When you give that child back to God, it confirms your love for God. But not only that, it clarifies ownership. But then thirdly, giving your children back to God is a commitment to raise your children under the lordship of Christ. Because if you're clear on who owns the child, you ought to be clear on where you need to go to raise the child. Can I get a witness here today? And see, one reason there are a lot of problems in our homes is because you can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you won't go. Can I get a witness here today? So parents, that's why the study of God's word is important. Because if you're going to train your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, you need to know him for yourself. I know I ought to have a witness here today. Amen. You ought to have enough word in you that when that child comes upon some dangerous situation in their life or some problem in their life, amen, mama, you ought to be able to give them a word. You ought to be able to remind them that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You ought to be able to remind them, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Get some word in you so you can commit to raising your children under the lordship of Christ. Amen. Be a godly parent. Love Jesus supremely. Teach your child about Christ. Keep your child in church. Love your child. Pray for your child. Train your child. Keep your home holy. Ooh, y'all got real quiet right there. It's hard to raise a holy child in a hellacious home. And one thing I know, I hear my mother saying it about children now. My mother said that when she was coming up, when a baby was born, they were born with their eyes closed. She said, but now babies come into the world, eyes wide open, amen, wanting to sit up already. And not only that, I think I got some witnesses here who know that these children are smarter than y'all used to be. He said, y'all. Amen. They're smart. There's some whippersnappers. I'm here to tell you. And you better get some word in you, because see, it don't work anymore. That thing about, you know, do as I say and not as I do. Because your children are looking at you. They looking at you. Amen. And now don't stop praising God, but please understand that when you're in the house of God and you're praising him and you're lifting your hands and saying hallelujah and glory to God, amen, they remember how on Friday night. Woo. giving your children back to God. It's confirmation.